What a jazzy intro.
Woo!
How in the world did we follow that up, Laura? I don't know. We're talking about stories, and this season has a lot of stories around it. You can turn on the television, every channel's got some kind of a story. What are some of the stories that we know when we were kids from Christmas? Anybody can help me out tonight? No, you can't. What's that? It's a Wonderful Life. Absolutely. What else?
The Grinch over here.
The Grinch.
Not the actual Grinch. I mean, somebody said the Grinch. Sorry. I've got to be careful what I say up here. I get kicked out.
I thought the Grinch was in the congregation tonight.
Nope.
No. You know, how many stories about the guy with the red suit and the... How many different... you've all seen The Santa Claus, right? One, two, and... Yeah, I'm surprised there isn't a continued sequel. No.
Just wait.
Anyway, there's all these stories, and they're fun to watch, and they're fun to follow, and we know most of them, but the truth of the matter is, I'm going to be careful about saying they're not real. But there are stories that are made up, Frosty the Snowman, et cetera, et cetera, and they're lots of fun, but they're not something we can take as real. And we can participate and enter into the story. Except one story. And that story goes on and on. I remember I was 15. My grandmother, who was like a second mom to me, had died the fall before. And it was Christmas. And I was at church. And there was a picture that was dedicated in her honor of Jesus. You know, the wonderful picture of Jesus that looks like he's English. That means, blue eyes, speaks with a British accent, I'm sure, because that
right.
was what he did in Israel those years ago. But what I remember was standing by that. It was dedicated to my grandmother as a memorial gift. And I remember standing there thinking or hoping or praying, I wish the story about you was true, Jesus. But I'm not sure I can believe it. I mean, it's wrapped around a virgin birth. It's wrapped around wise men from the east. It's shepherds. It's wrapped around you being more than just a person, but being God's own son. I don't know if I can buy that. And for the longest time in my life, I walked away from Jesus and from church. I thought that can't be true until a point in my story where I hit rock bottom. That happens to people. In the struggle and chaos of life, I hit rock bottom and I didn't know where to turn. And so, in desperation, I gave the story and the chief character of the story, Jesus, another chance. And many of you have heard my story, but I think what's important is God drew me into his story. And that's where I've been living for a long time. Even telling our own sons, who are more of your generation, Laura, you know, maybe you feel like it's foolishness, but I'm going to tell you that it's changed my life. It changed the direction of my life, the hope of my life, the encouragement of my life. That's been 40-some years ago now. What I want to say about that is that I'm nobody special. And I want you to hear that. I want you to hear that because I believe that the God who met with me and lifted me out of my desperation and gave me something to partner with him to do this kind of crazy business of talking about him. That same God is available to everybody. every generation. And that's important, because as I've looked back on it and read a little church history and studied it and been in the experience of being a pastor for these years, what I've noticed is the story just goes on and on and on. And what I am delighted by, and I've told Laura this already, what I am most delighted by is the fact that the story goes on. It's not just an old-time story for people a long time ago. And tonight, I want to help prove that to you. And I want to help prove it to you because, if you don't know, our sister in the Lord, Laura Sandera, with her beautiful family, is here. Laura has been called into the story, and Laura is a new generation coming up following the same story. And I want her to tell you a little bit about that tonight. So I'm going to sit down.
Okay.
Do that, Laura.
Oh, I didn't know where you were supposed to sit.
You don't have to. But I'm going to sit.
So I'm actually not surprised that you prayed that prayer after your grandmother passed, because the story of Jesus and of Jesus' birth is so countercultural. It's so different from what we expect when we hear that there's a Savior, King, or somebody that's going to come to save us, right? And I think it helps to bear some questions that we have to ask ourselves. Many of the questions that I've asked and lessons that I've learned over the years, some very painful lessons, some that I've really struggled with and had to really work through. And really, the first thing that I think as we listen to the wonderful readers that helped to read some of the scripture and tell the story of Jesus' birth, there are a couple of lessons that come out of it that is not just back from Jesus' time, but it's here. And it sticks with us, and that story is still here of that just awesome, interesting, crazy, you can hardly believe it story that God wrote and that he put together for us. And the first thing was that Jesus was humble. If you think about it, how many of you expect a Savior to come as a baby born and laid in a manger? And a manger is a food trough for animals back in those days, right? A lot of you would think that there'd be pomp and circumstance, and that kings are and great rulers are the ones that have all the light shining on them and all the Instagram followers and Twitter followers and all of those different things, and they've got a whole bunch of people because they know what's right and it's what they say. But that's not what Jesus taught us. Jesus taught us to be humble, and he did that by asking questions. He did that by just humbly serving all of us, washing his disciples' feet, all of the things that had people looking at him like he was crazy, because that's not what you did back then. If you were a leader, you did not wash servants' feet, right? And I want us to think about where we are today and look at that. Look at the leaders that are leading us and the people that we follow and the way that we're leading others. Are we humbly serving? Are we humbly letting people know how important they are to us and demonstrating our love without the pomp and circumstance, without them having to earn it and to give it to us, but just humbly giving that love? The other thing that I've learned over time, and I think that is just so clear, is that anything is possible with God. Anything, okay? He had a virgin give birth to our Savior. Scientifically impossible, okay? Scientifically impossible back then. But he did everything so intentional. You look back at it, I've been leading a women's Advent study for Cornerstone for the past couple weeks, and we've just been diving into it. And there's so many different things where I thought I knew the nativity story. I thought I knew it, but the more that you learn about the different things, you realize God had a plan for everything. He has a plan for all of us. And think about that. If you are a young woman, right, betrothed, engaged to a man, and you find yourself pregnant back in that time, it was almost guaranteed you'd be stoned to death. Absolutely. But you know what? And Joseph could have had shame brought upon him, but they trusted God. They trusted that anything was possible. And it didn't take long for Mary to listen to the angel and to say, I'm God's servant, and for Joseph to take her. Even though it could have brought shame upon him, they knew everything was possible. And it made me wonder, do I trust God? Do I trust that everything is possible with God? And it's taken a lot of painful moments. I still try to do it. And I have my husband reminding me, you know, I've been having headaches for about a month now. Have you prayed about it? Well, no, God can't heal my headaches. He can't heal my headaches. But prayer works. Relationship works with God. And here I'm trying to control things, but I need to learn to trust him. And I think another important lesson that we learn from this is that Jesus and God, they all love everybody equally. You cannot earn his love. And I think that's the most important lesson I learned in my life, and the lesson that I want to instill in my children, I want to instill in those around me. You know, nothing is more compelling than the king of the world's birth to be announced to shepherds. Okay, not special shepherds. These are shepherds back then were dirty. They were lowly creatures, not creatures, people, right? Very lowly, unclean. If you know about, read anything in the Old Testament, you had to purify yourself to be before God. You had to clean yourself. And there's nothing in the Bible that says they had to go through weekly rituals of making themselves clean to be worthy to be in the presence. God welcomes us no matter where we are. We can just snap our fingers and say, God, I want you to be my Savior. And we are clean and beautiful in his eyes during that. And I think the most important thing that I've learned through the generations, and I think all of us can ask ourselves, is that how are we going to continue this story? As I said earlier, God intentionally wrote the Bible. And there was prophets that talked about what was going to happen, and prophets that talked about a virgin was going to give birth. And if you look back through the Bible, you can see clearly the story that he created through all of these people. And I want us to ask ourselves, what is that story that we're going to continue on? So yes, it's coming down to my generation. I want to pour into the next generation as well. And what is that story that we're going to tell? The Bible is written, but his story is not done. He keeps on building his story over and over and over again to demonstrate his love for us, that we can demonstrate it to others. No strings attached, just to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So let me ask you, what does those questions reveal to you? How do you continue to reveal his love and continue the story for the future?
What we want you to hear tonight is that the story is much more profound and powerful than we often believe it is. I was reading something the other day that struck me deeply. It was by Bishop N.T. Wright. He is British and a brilliant scholar, and this is what he wrote, and I want you to hear the words. I asked you at the beginning of the service to listen to the words of the story and listen to the words and listen for the voice of God. He says, the original historic Christmas stories are about power. They're about the kingdom of God breaking in dangerously and unexpectedly into the kingdoms of the world. Our culture has downgraded the Christmas stories into sweet little songs and primary school nativity plays. But the birth of a baby who will inherit the throne of his ancestor David, as the angel says to Mary in Luke 1:32, announces the start of a revolution. Nothing will ever be the same again. In Israel's scriptures, David had already ruled over the 12 tribes, but the Psalms and the prophets, Laura, you were reminding us of, insisted that his ultimate successor would rule over the whole world. Anyone claiming David's kingdom is throwing down a challenge to the rulers of the world, whether in the first century or the 21st century. The stories that begin at Christmas end with Jesus' followers sent into the world to launch a new way of being human, a new kind of power, the divine power of self-giving love. Once we put Christmas back into its proper historical context, we might just find that Christmas could reshape our own historical context. For 2,000 years now, we who follow Jesus believe that the story happened as it was told, and that it was led up to by, Laura, as you said so well, about the prophets, and the story wasn't a surprise, it came. But there's more to the story. There's a revolution that is going on. Not a revolution with people taking up arms or to fight one another, but a revolution of loving people out of a fallen, chaotic world and into God's kingdom. And in the same way that Jesus was promised the first time, and it said in the scripture, in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman. In the same manner, we have been promised something else, which is that one day, Jesus is going to return. And this time, not so much as a babe at all, or simply meek and mild, but as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you listen to the Hallelujah Chorus, how many of you know what the Hallelujah Chorus is? Yeah. Our God omnipotent reigneth. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when we gather on Christmas Eve to celebrate the story of the birth of this king, the story goes on and on because the king is going to return. And I don't know when, and I would be wary of anybody who could tell you when, since Jesus said, I don't know, only the Father knows. But it's going to happen. So I hope you capture the magnificence of that at a Christmas Eve service. This is the story that goes on and on. This is the story we can all be involved in. We can all be part of because he invites us all. So I hope you hear that invitation. If you don't hear it tonight, I hope there's a time soon. If you don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, that you'll come to a time where you're open to that and you'll be listening. It doesn't matter what generation you're in, we're all invited. We're all welcome. It's a story that goes on and on and on. Let me pray for us. Lord, help us see the true picture of what your birth meant. How it started a revolution that will not end until you return and set everything right. You, who through your resurrection began a whole new creation, that's the promise. That's the belief that we can be new people. We can be people as we were designed to be. And to live into that design more and more fully by the help of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, as we're gathered here tonight, speak to us. Take the truth and let us know in our minds and our hearts it is truth. Not just a nice story we hope is true, but one that is true. And as we sing about it and as we celebrate it, that it becomes more and more real to us. And thank you. In Jesus' name.